Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a glorious opportunity and blessing it is to gather together and, Lord, mindful that you hear every prayer, hear every praise from each one of us if we're all alone and no one is even within earshot of each other, and yet you allow us to gather together. And as we talked a little bit earlier, a couple of us, that if we had 10 kids and one of them would say something, we would listen so intently. But if all 10 at once are saying, kind of in unison, the same loving, praising thing, that would be awesome. And so there's 8 billion of us down here on this earth, and you hear every one of us. But if we gather together, it's just a sweetness as well. And there's that spiritual component in the atmosphere that is not present when we're alone, when we have more gathering. And the more we have gathering in a way, the greater the thought. And so it's gathering together, as is the manner of your word. And some, it's they don't gather together, they just want to worship alone, and in a way that's okay, but we want to do both. We want to worship alone, but we also want to be able to gather together. And here we are Saturday morning again with a few minutes together, and it's a beautiful time, and so thank you for that. Lead us now as we look at another proverb this morning, and may we hear you as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have yet another proverb, and it's kind of like the same as it's been the last several weeks. These are all pretty much unrelated one to another. You don't have to read 8 or 10 of them and then try to say, oh, there's one central point here. In fact, it's very difficult to do that. Yet, on the other hand, we see some patterns a little bit. We see a lot about fools today. I think we will see fools 8 to 10 times, or foolishness, and other terms similar to that, folly and silliness and those kinds of things. And so I was trying to find a hymn with fools in it, and I couldn't. But we just had a song which I didn't even pick. It just came up, Created Me a Clean Heart. That was good, just to see us singing together. That was a beautiful thing. So Proverbs 14. We have another 26 or so buts in here in 35 verses. So you will see, of course, it's pretty much continuing on the contrast. First verse is wise versus foolish. And so again, that is not something that's new to us. We've had that over and over again. But it's said so many different ways, and yet they all are true, and they all have a relativity to ourselves. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Oh my. I just think of the lawlessness in the world, how it takes so much time to build something up, and the lawless ones can, maybe 100 build it up, and 2 lawless ones can tear it down in a matter of a few minutes, right, so to speak. And then I think of, who does this relate to in the Bible? Well, wise woman, I would think of Sarah, for example, Abraham's wife. She builds her house. And then I think of a foolish woman. There was this one gal, Athaliah. She was Ahab in that period of time. She was the wickedest woman in the world, one of the wickedness, and where the whole line of the whole Jezebels and all that stuff came from, or at least the kings during that time. Athaliah, I think it was, Ahaziah's mother. But the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So is your life one of wisdom or one of foolishness? Well, it's of wisdom, but there's some foolish things done, and they're never going to help. But if they're done premeditatedly, then there's no real excuse for that, I guess. Verse 2, he who walks in uprightness, again, you have a walking here, uprightness, and it follows with a fear. Now, we have a lot about fear today. Again, fear is mentioned quite a number of times in Proverbs. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. Now, when we get to verse 27, I think it is, the fear of the Lord, we're going to have the fear of the Lord in verses 26 and 27, and so in your notes when we get to that point, I put down all the fears of the Lord in the book of Proverbs, and that's a good study just on your own. Go through that, and they're a little bit out of context when you just take a verse at a time. In some cases in the Bible, it's good to have the context for sure. But the fear of the Lord is so important, and here we have a fear here in verse 2. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. So every time I read that, I say, how do I fear the Lord? How is my level of reverential respect for him? What is my fear based on? I think it used to be based on fear that the world would have. I'm scared. But there's nothing about the Lord that we can be scared of, even though he's so righteous and justice and can do anything. He can destroy everything if he so chooses. But it's all based on love, and he's so faithful. And if you just look at his faithfulness, just look at yesterday. Had you thought about the faithfulness that he exhibited to you yesterday, or the day before, or the day after, or whenever, continually? But be aware of that today as his faithfulness. You've already seen it this morning. You're here. Even Bob got the car started to get here. He's able to move his legs. He who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. So you see all of those haters of Israel, those haters of God, they're all perverse in a way because they got it all twisted around. Sad, isn't it? Verse 3, in the mouth of a fool, there we got the fools. The mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. Seven times in Proverbs we'll have fools today. Or no, we'll have, I'm sorry, seven times we have pride. So we have the pride, and we have the pride every week too, don't we? It seems like. But the lips of the wise will preserve them. So what comes out of your mouth? That of a fool or out of a wise person? Verse 4. Those of you who have been around animals know this one. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. I like Vernon McGee's comment on this one. He said, a pastor needs to recognize which are the oxen in the fellowship. And he said, all too often, young pastors, and I was just thinking how I can think of examples of this, young pastors want to get rid of the old people. They want to get the young ones who've got a lot of energy, who can do a lot of things, you know, come in and set up and do this and go out and all this. But he said, who provides the food for the oxen to continue? Generally, it's the old people, and they're gold. And how many have trashed the old people in fellowships, you know? But here's one. Yeah, you'll have a clean crib, but you won't have any strength. So if you get rid of the ox, you get rid of the dirt, but you get rid of its power. And that was the strength in those days, was the oxen. That was the transportation. They would pull the carts and so forth. And they would pull the plow. But in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, and so forth. And where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. So think about the troughs in your life and what is putting dirt in them. And is there, that's the other side of the strength. Then be careful that you don't just want to get rid of the dirt and take the strength. Or what do they say, throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, it seems. Verse 5, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So, are you faithful or false? A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Now, we're going to have understanding four times in today's passage as well. Knowledge is easy to him who understands. Think of your word knowledge of the Bible. When you first started reading the Bible, it was kind of hard to read, wasn't it? Think about the kings in the Old Testament. How long did it take you to kind of put them in, or do you even have them in a perspective today? You have to do some study but the more you study, the more understanding you have, don't you? Go from the presence of a foolish man, the foolish again here, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. That's an interesting proverb, isn't it? Loving kindness to the foolish one, but he's not to be, or she's not to be, your source of support, wisdom, and input. Or, translate that around, if you have a TV set, are you watching foolish things, or are you watching something that's not foolish? I don't know anything about TV these days, but it seems to me the little I do know about it, pretty much it's all foolish. I don't mean there's no good programs, but most of the programs are pretty foolish, aren't they? Our movies, same thing. The next verse is also foolish in it, or folly, same thing. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, another understanding. But the folly of fools is deceit. Prudent, understanding, fools, deceit. And again, fools in verse 9, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. So a lot of references to fool today, or fooling, or fools. Verse 10, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. I don't know what that means to you. To me, it kind of means, is my heart more prone to complain and tell others about my bitterness, or am I ever sharing my joy with them, the joy of the Lord, that because of him in us, stranger does not share its joy. Verse 11, the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Wicked and uprightness contrasted there. Verse 12, there is a way. Again, we have a way. We always seem to have a way, don't we? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Wow. Would that kind of summarize the world? The way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be in grief. So I see some timing in that one. Every situation we go through at times may have a sorrow element to it. But we know that if we stay in step with the Lord, they all end for our good. Verse 14, the backslider in heart will be filled in his own ways. Oh my. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Or from above himself, actually, is the verbiage there. Satisfied from above. Are you satisfied in self, or are you satisfied from above? The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Are you gullible? How gullible are you? Oh, I heard it. It must be true. Prudently consider well your steps. Be circumspectly, same term. A wise man fears and departs from evil. Or another is a fear of the Lord kind of a thing. A wise man fears and departs from evil. But a fool rages and is self-confident. Verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, another fool. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. And a man of wicked intentions is hated. Well, do you think you have the gift of quick-temperedness? It's one that causes you to act foolishly. And a man of wicked intentions is hated. Wow. How are you known by? Good intentions or wicked intentions? Depends on what people would think of you. Love you or hate you, I guess. The simple inherit folly. Here's another foolish word, really folly. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Wow, very clear picture there, isn't it? 19, the evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. That verse really has some eternal consequences to it, doesn't it? The evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Verse 20, the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich man has many friends. That's what it may look like on the outside, but that's the way the world may look at it, but that's certainly not the way the Lord looks at it. Verse 21, he despises his neighbor's sins. Ooh! When's the last time you passed on some bad news about your neighbor? Maybe it'd be better just to, we had this, I think, a time or two before already in Proverbs. He who despises his neighbor's sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Merciful God we have, are we merciful? Verse 22, do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. So what am I devising? How much evil am I devising? How much good am I devising? Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter. You don't hear, you hear an awful lot of idle chatter. So how much idle chatter am I involved in? Maybe too much. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Now that's got three fools in one phrase there. But the foolishness of fools is folly. So the fools and folly is basically the same root there. You can interpret it as stupid. When you look at a definition of it, that's what it says, stupid. So we've had that before in Proverbs as well. But the foolishness of fools is folly. So that's saying it three times in one line there. On the other hand, the wise have a crown of riches. 25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. So what kind of a witness am I? True or deceitful? Now, here's one of the fears of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, 10 times in Proverbs, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children will have a place of refuge. Wow. So on your own, look at those 10 times it's given to us in Proverbs. In your notes, don't look at it now necessarily, because it takes some time to go through that. But take your time and just meditate on that a little bit, and it'll blow you away on what the fear of the Lord has said about it, really, in a good way. In the next verse, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So in the fear of the Lord, there's a strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, two great things, to turn one away from the snares of death. Wow. You know, you can say a lot that's wrong with us, a lot that's wrong with this country, a lot that's wrong with the world is lack of fear of the Lord, right? Verse 28, in a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. Verse 29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, But he who is impulsive exalts folly. There's another foolishness word. So how is your fuse? Is it short? Or is it growing a little bit longer? Because once you go to anger, it shuts off everything, doesn't it? You have no understanding when you get angry. You take over. I'm going to do it my way. This is not right, or I'm wrong. Or I mean, they're wrong. I'm right. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive, that means short of spirit. He who is short of spirit exalts foolishness or folly. A sound heart is life to the body, yes, but envy is rottenness to the bones. You read Psalm 51, how David had rottenness in his bones from his guilt. Envy is rottenness to the bones. Think of Ahithophel and his hatred. Not necessarily envy, but same effect. Envy, rottenness to the bones. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. So how do you think, what's your feelings toward the poor as expressed by your life? Verse 32, the wicked is banished in his wickedness. Wow, wicked is banished in his wickedness. That's pretty profound. But the righteous has a refuge in his death. So wickedness, banishment, righteousness, refuge. In his death, in his death. Eternal. 33, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. Oh, I love that. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. Another understanding here in our proverb today. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. So we have fools and understanding here again in this verse. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. And then this one, which we heard many times, so true of this nation and every other nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So, as you all know, we need to continue to pray for this nation. We've got a great opportunity now to turn some things around on a national basis. And we really need to pray that in, seems to me. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And finally, 35, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. So who is your king? The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. Father, we see the richness of your word, and we see the richness of these proverbs, and they cause each of us to think, and it's hard to go through a whole list of them without missing or passing over the significance of each one. And yet, we also get a kind of an overview on 35, even though we've only spent a few minutes on it. Foolishness, lack of understanding, the importance of understanding, the importance of wisdom, the importance of honoring you and not causing shame to your name, of being a good witness, a witness of truth and not of deceit. So Lord, help us. And now as we have a few moments to just pray as you would lead us, Holy Spirit, let us join together as one, in Jesus' name. Father, we do thank you for this morning. Give us ears to hear you. You are our corrector, Lord. your correction is all true, all based on love. Others' correction may be partially right or mostly right, and help us to test that with you. And we do want to yield to you as you correct us. And so, Lord, I just want to close with a song that kind of haphazardly started on, Create in Me a Clean Heart. If we have a clean heart, your heart, Lord, it doesn't need much correction. And if we don't, we need a lot of correction all the time. So let's just close with this song. And I don't have the words. You know the words enough. And as I was watching you, as you sang, as we were going, starting before we really had sung it earlier, you were right with the music here. So let's stand and sing with Maranatha here with Create in Me a Clean Heart. And related to, you know, today we had heart a couple of verses, and one of the last verses was, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of the fools is made known. So, Lord, do create in us a clean heart. So let us sing this together.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And Lord, I just kind of have the thought of the need to pray for unity, especially in our government, as we saw you work so beautifully yesterday and the decision there for the House and having the Speaker elected again or appointed again. And then, Lord, as I saw his message, and Republicans all standing to their feet many times, especially regarding the border and inflation and all, and that not one Democrat would stand through the whole speech, not one. Saw several of them like they were going to get up and they'd look around and they'd sit back down again. Lord, that is us as well. We say we're going to hear your correction. We say we're going to be understanding and we're going to do all of this, and then we fall right back into our old trap of, nope, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to do it. So help us, Lord. Thank you for each one here. May we praise you and honor you this whole day or this whole hour, an hour at a time, really, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.